Better at this and have a biblical understanding of anger, And this is the help that I have gotten. Some of you are saying, boy, this is great because my husband, my wife, I know this person needs to hear this, and beware of that. Beware of that, because anger may be the train, but there is a lot of cars that are connected to that train. There is resentment. There is bitterness. There is being critical. There is being angry and unforgiving and sad, and the list goes on to depression and apathy. And so, if you feel, well, I don't have an anger problem, some of you don't explode, but you stuff. You stuff the anger, and that is not good either. New studies have come out, and they always say that the danger and the damage that anger does, everything from headaches, digestive problems, insomnia, increased anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, skin problems, heart attacks. We all know the heart attacks and stroke. That's what we initially think of, but it truly is more than that. And even above that, even above the physical things that it does to us, it is how it dishonors the God that we love. And so we do want to look at the scriptures today. And we are in a rich portion of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. And Pastor Jason and I were talking, and there are so many excellent concepts in this passage that we're just slowing down. And we're doing one verse or two verses at a time. We're talking about going through the whole thing, but it's like there's so much that is there. And that is why Martin Lloyd-Jones preached over 200 sermons on the book of Ephesians. But Pastor Jason was very wise to say we need to understand things in the context of God's Word and in the context of where it's at. So we are going to back up, and we're going to start reading in verse 17. So let me invite you to stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word. In this whole section, he's talking about what it is to walk in Christ as a new creation in Christ. And let's start in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become calloused and have given themselves up to sexuality, greed, and to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have learned about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupted through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Then the passages we're going to look at today, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Father, I pray, oh, how I pray that you would work in my hearts and in all of our hearts, that we would understand your word aright, and that you would change us for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So let's jump into this. And again, this is things that I have gathered over these last weeks. The first thing that I want us to understand is the Bible teaches that not all anger is bad. Some of you have been taught, you know, don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry. And so some of you have taken that and you've stuffed your anger. But the scripture here is very clear. It says, be angry and do not sin. Now, we are all aware of the bad part of anger. And so when James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And then it says this, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we're going to talk about the anger of man in a little bit. But it's not all bad. One of the statements that Tim Keller made that just kind of I have listened to it probably five times. Here's what he said. He said, anger is basically a good thing in its uncorrupted origin. Anger is actually a form of love. Anger is motion to deal. Anger is love in motion to deal with the threat to someone or something we truly care about. And then he says, it is a sin never to be angry. And so, as I was doing my research, like, is that really right? And even Martin Lloyd Jones says, if there is not a sense of righteous indignation at things that are not right, then we don't love. We don't care. And then both of them and others have said, what you really need to understand is that this is what God is like. See, when we think about God, we always go to the verses, God is love, God is love. And he is love. But there's something that, especially for those of you that are new here, maybe been coming the last few months, we believe the Bible. We believe all of God's word. We really do. And we believe it cover to cover. And so, yes, without a doubt, God is an amazing God of love. But as R.C. Sproul has said, in the New Testament, it uses the word wrath. You know what wrath is? Wrath is extreme anger. Wrath is kind of, if you would, Hulk kind of anger. It is anger, you know, but it's not, maybe that's not the best illustration, but it is extreme anger. And Sproul says that the New Testament uses the word extreme anger or wrath more times than it does statements about the love of God or the mercy of God. Now think about that. See, we have this feeling like, yes, God was, you'll hear about the wrath of God in the Old Testament, but he got happy in the New Testament in Jesus. And that's really not true. And so I'm going to share some things with you. If you're new, that some of this might rock your world, but I'm asking you to hold on and to really understand this. God's wrath is part of his holy nature. It is his settled, determined action. If God loves righteousness, then he must and does hate sin. John Piper said, the wrath of God is God's settled anger towards sin expressed in the repayment of a suitable vengeance on the guilty. When it says in Psalm 7:11, God is a judge, a God who feels indignation every day. We need to understand that, because if we don't, we need to get that God is a righteous judge. I really believe everyone in the world has a sense of justice that's there. Whether you are extreme liberal or you are extreme conservative, and you know how you know that is the liberal side and the extreme conservative does something, then you say, oh, they're wrong, attack. You know, there is judgment that happens, and vice versa. But God is a perfect, righteous judge. And that judge is holy. His judgment is holy in all that he does. Let me give you some more Bible from the Old Testament. Nahum 1:2. The Lord is an avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. Same thing basically is repeated in Exodus 34:6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, sin, but will by no means clear the guilty. You see, our sin is so bad. You just don't have a little sin problem. We have a massive sin problem. We, in our own nature, we are by nature objects of God's wrath. And so what does God do in his love for us? Well, we know God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So God, in His love and mercy for you and for me, sent His Son, who bore the very wrath of God, the very penalty that your heinous sin and my heinous sin deserved. He did that for us. He was buried and He rose from the dead. And He offers to all who will believe the free gift of eternal life. But 20 verses later in John chapter 3, here's what it says. Whoever believes in the Son, has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Every person apart from Christ, the wrath of God. And Jesus is crying out, I have made a way, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will forgive you of your sins. I will save your soul. But if not, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. People say, and I hear this all the time, well, I don't believe in the God of wrath. Whether you believe it or not, God is who He is. Pastor, we're going to see in the next chapter in Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. In Revelation 14, anyone loyal to the Antichrist and his kingdom will suffer the fury of God's wrath. It says, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath poured full into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fires and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And again, God's anger, his wrath, is part of his holy nature. And I get some of you right now, like, I know what's going on with some people. Oh, I love this church. But now you're seeing this stuff. And I don't believe this stuff. And here's where I'm begging you to look into what God's Word has to say, to really understand the holiness of God. My recommendation, before you ever leave the church and say, I want to go find a church that talks about love all the time, because they're only giving you half the story, read R.C. Sproul's book, The Holiness of God, because when you see that God is holy, 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 and we are not, all of what I'm talking about begins to make sense. And so, yes,
I think Keller's right that anger is basically a good thing.
It is its uncorrupt origin. Anger is
actually a form of love.
God loves us. Anger is in love in motion to deal with the threat to someone or something we truly care about. And it is a sin not to get angry. Now, how does that work for us? Because, yeah, you might be able to say, yes, God can do that. But can we have righteous indignation? My thing is, yes, you can, and you do. If you have a child, and your child is doing something that you know is going to hurt them, you're not apathetic to that. If they're not doing their schoolwork, you don't sit there and say, well, it's fine, I don't care what you do. You love them, and you say, what are you doing? It's like, no, you got to do this, and when they're making bad choices, be it drugs, alcohol, whatever, things that you know are going to wreck their life. If their car of their life is speeding toward the wall, you don't sit there and give a warning. What kind of love is that? There's no love there. It's like, whatever. Who am I? I don't want to judge. There's not one of you parents or grandparents, if you have a 2-year-old that has a fork in their hand and they are moving towards the electrical outlet that you didn't put a little plastic thing over, you don't sit there and say, I don't want to interfere, it might upset them. You grab and just as they're putting it in, you grab them and you violently pull them away. And there's a part of you that is, it's like, don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself. And they don't even understand at that age. But you do it because why? You love them. And if we don't love, there is a part that we look at things in the world, it's like, that's not right. And I think God's given us that, that we would in one sense oppose evil. My children were young. My dad was, and I've told you before, he was an angry man. And everyone at work,
oh, he opened the bell tire service. Everyone thought he was the greatest guy in the world.
He came home, he was angry. And I remember, and he was older at this point, he was in his 80s, and he is treating my wife poorly. He is disrespecting her, he's talking meanly to her, and she is doing nothing but trying to care for him. You know my wife's a saint. I mean, she's a sinner saved by grace, but she's a saint. I mean, she is, and she is doing nothing but good, and he is bad-mouthing her. And it welled up in me, and I prayed for a second, and Lord, I gotta deal with this. But I was angry, and I pulled my dad aside, and I got in his face, and I said, you will not talk to my wife that way. And I just laid it out. She's done nothing but good and help you, and you're not going to disrespect her. Are we clear? Because if you don't get this, me and my family are gone. Because I had grudges, and I was shaking. I'm not going to hit him. But I was shaking because what he was doing to my wife was wrong. And he backed away, he even apologized. But those kind of things can and do happen. And I think God has given us that. And that's how Jesus was. I mean, when he was dealing with the religious leaders, it says in Mark 3:5, it says, and he looked around at them and with anger grieved at their hardness of heart. When the holiness of God and the worship was at stake at the temple, and they were money changing, it says in John chapter 2 in verse 15, in making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, poured out the coins of the money changers, and turned over the tables. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. In verse 17 it says, his disciples remembered that what was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And I've read some commentators where they said he wasn't angry at all. It's like, no, that was, I believe, righteous indignation that is there. So it is possible that you gotta understand, not all anger is bad. But let's look at anger that goes wrong. And here's where I need to honestly say for all of us, most of our anger, most of the things that you get sideways on, is not righteous indignation. It's normally not. But let's look at where anger goes wrong. I believe this, point A, that righteous anger can turn to sin if it is prolonged. So the text we're looking at today says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. The NIV says, don't give the devil a foothold. Even righteous anger, when it is dwelled upon, can become toxic and hostile to our minds and can open the door and give the devil a foothold. And so we have to take God's word and take it in place. We know
what's going to happen in this world.
Trouble's going to happen in this world. There are things that are going to happen to you that are wrong. That are just flat out, they're wrong. And some of them are wrong and they're evil. And there's a part where you can be righteously angry about that, but you've got to be careful. Because if you stay in that place, it will rot your soul. And so Scripture knows that, and God knows that.
And He has given us His word. And
so
in Romans
chapter 12, it says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible. So as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There are things that have happened to you, will happen to you, that you just got to say, got to let this go. Vengeance is mine, Lord. You know this. You know the wrong that has happened here. Because if you don't, you will begin to, in your mind, go down to vigilante thinking in your head. There's a new movie out, which is not a new movie, it's called Death Wish by Bruce Willis, and it's actually a remake of the movie that Charles Bronson started in 1974. And what it is it's a movie about someone who comes in and kills
this man's wife.
And
they're not, you know,
police are not doing anything to solve the crime. And so he gets angry that it goes too far, and he takes vengeance into his own hands. And so my wife and I went to see this movie Friday night because I saw the original one. And what was fascinating is to see this is man's anger taken to the next step.
Because
if no one's going to fix it, I'll do it, and I'll do it in an unrighteous way. And the theater was packed. And when vengeance was going on, you know what you heard? You heard cheering, which was really kind of weird. And there's a part of you that, yes, you want the evil wrongdoer, you want them punished, but we're believers. And so when the scripture says, my beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. There's enough time for the wrath of God is spoken about. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There's going to come a day when God's going to make all those things that people have ripped you off and done you wrong. You know, we pray for their souls, but God's going to make that right. And vengeance is his, it's not yours. You stay there, you will become bitter and resentful and angry and grumpy, and all those things will happen. It goes on to say, verse 20, he says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's what Christians do. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will reap. You will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are believers, and we are called to act and be different than the world. Though I just being honest, I feel those things. I feel the vengeance.
But then I gotta preach God's word to myself and say,
no, 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 no. And we battle it with God's word. Second point.
Point B.
Sinful anger occurs when we have disordered loves. And this is where most of our anger comes from. Or as Augustine called it, inordinate affections. Love, if love is anger in motion to deal with the threat to someone or something we truly care about, and it goes bad, it becomes man's anger. And
James 1:20 is very clear.
That the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So this anger that I'm talking about, it is not good. But here's where most of our anger is at. It comes down to this. We get angry because I'm at the center of the universe. And what I wanted to have happen has not happened. So someone cuts you off in traffic and you go off on them. Is that righteous anger or is that sinful anger? That answer is it is sinful anger. It is horrible, sinful anger. When the person on the phone doesn't speak English and I've waited 35 minutes and I go off on them and I Hulk out, that is not righteous anger. That is sinful anger that says, oh, my time and my little world and my priorities are more important. And so we got to guard those things. I mean, how? And here's where we got to look at our anger. Why are you angry? Most people are angry over inconvenience. They are angered over things that, you know what, I had planned and something didn't happen. The internet didn't work. My computer didn't work. This person cut me off. And so it's all about me. And because you didn't do what I wanted you to do in my little world, then we blow up. And when we were down in Disney last week, actually bought it for a family member. It says, I'm grumpy because you're dopey. That's not just a funny shirt. That's reality of how people live. If everyone was better, if you just weren't as dumb as you are, then I would be happier, is what I heard people say. And some of you don't say that, but we really do. We think that. And it's everyone else's fault. My anger is everyone else. If you were a better spouse, if the kids were quiet, if the place was clean, if I had a better boss, if I had a better church, if I had a better this, if I had a better that, then I would be less angry. Keller says, there's something that's natural about getting a little irritated. Getting angry too easily. But our reputation. Why are we 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more angry than some that goes around in different parts of the world? Why is that? I mean, really, someone cuts you off and you're like screaming at them? Why is that? You don't get angry about the human trafficking that goes on or tens of thousands of babies that are aborted. It's like, whatever. Not my world. But touch your little world, inconvenience you, ooh, we get irritated, don't we? And so I think that's where it comes. And part of this is we're looking at this, I think we'll evaluate at the end of the service. And you look at the last 5 times you were angry. There was a part of it, but it was way over. Let's look at where bad, sinful anger is displayed and how it's displayed. When do we turn into, if you would, the Hulk? And again, the Bible talks a lot about this. It's chapter 15. A hot-tempered man stirs up slow anger, quiets contention. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be quick in your spirit. Do not be quick in your spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. You're going to see this fool's word quite a bit. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. I mean, why do we do that? Well, we're fools. And we just got to use the biblical language when we get angry about stuff that we shouldn't be. Proverbs 22 in verse 24. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. And so, it's just not good. I mean, the Bible does give a lot of warning that the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. And what I find, again, in my own heart, is you ever get irritated? I mean, maybe I'm the only one. And I've shared this before, but there's times where, you know, I got to be nice to everyone here, and I go home, and my wife will say something, and I'm here. And she does not deserve that. And that's not on her. She's done nothing wrong. It is my sinfulness that probably wants to lash out at some of you, but I don't. The others don't have to do that, right? It's a good thing. And yet, and I'll take it out at home. That's ridiculous. And I don't think I'm alone in that. So, let's talk about strategies to managing anger. Because we want to glorify God. And I don't think I am alone at this at all. We want God to so work. We want to think biblically. We want to take this in. We want to know how to respond. And so, what do we do? Well, first of all, we do need to analyze the anger. And I think that's where it all starts. You've got to really look. Did someone cut me off so I'm going to get angry? Or I'm in traffic? And that's going to make me angry? Or my kids are making noise? Well, guess what? You have a 3-year-old, or you have a 10-year-old, or you have a 15-year-old. They make noise. You know, the neighbor's dog barks. You know, that's what dogs do. I can't sit there and lose my mind over those things. Oh, I can. Let me tell you. But again, it's just, it is one of those things where it's like, why am I really angry? Here's what Keller says. If we ask the question and we analyze our anger, often, you will be immediately embarrassed. Because what you're doing is you're defending your ego, your pride, your self-esteem, and your comfort. Most of the stuff that we get angry about is because you have messed with my world. And so we have to look at this. And for those of you that say, yeah, those people need to work on that, I really think what some of you have no anger outwardly, but resentment, bitterness, critical. You can criticize everybody. Well, that's just the different cars on the train. You can be grumpy, unforgiving, sadness, and you can go, that I could have kept going on these. Could have been athletes, I don't care. Because what happens is people get places, I don't care. Do whatever, I don't care. And that's not loving. And so we do have to look at that.
Point B.
We have to admit and confess your unrighteous anger is sin. That's what it is. When the scripture says, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And my thing is, the quicker you do it, the easier it gets. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You gotta turn your eyes to Jesus, and you gotta do that quickly. You have to admit and confess when you are doing the blame shifting thing, and you're saying, "Oh yeah, it's not me. It is your response." And so the scripture is clear: the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Because man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't. And so we do that. We analyze it. We admit it. We confess it. Did you know that when you don't admit that you're angry, you know we are? You are a religious hypocrite. We are. We can say, oh, we love Jesus, everything's great, but we walk around with bitterness and grumpiness and criticalness and anger. We're hypocrites, and everyone around knows it. They do. They absolutely do. Point C. We have to flee and fill. When it says in Ephesians 4:27, and give no opportunity to the devil. We gotta flee from him. We gotta flee. Scripture says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it goes on to say, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You run to the Lord. You refrain from anger and forsake that wrath. I think part of the fleeing is, you got to know, what's your button? What are the things that get you going? I mean, some of you, I told you a million times, quit watching the news. You watch the news, and next thing you know, it's like, well, they said this, and next thing you know, because there's no news. It's all news and commentary on both sides, and it's extremer and extremer on both sides every single day. So even if someone did something right, if President Trump did something that is absolutely the best thing for the country, over half the country is going to be sitting there, they're going to be criticized, and they're going to be saying, and they're not going to say, wow, that's great. They will say, well, that's okay, but boom, 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 boom. And if you say, yeah, that's because that's how the liberals are. Okay, go to the other side. It was the same thing when President Obama was in there. He could have done something great. And say, boom, boom, boom.
Then they would attack him on 15 million
things. And so,
I do think you got to stay away from those things that are hot buttons.
I don't do projects anymore at the house. I don't.
I mean, seriously,
I will call people.
You know, hey, can you come over and help me? You know, sorry, but I know, and I seriously can go from zero to Hulk in 30 seconds doing a project around the house because it is, you know, I shouldn't even know why. It's my pride, it's my ego. I'm a man, I should be able to change a light bulb. You know, but no, I can't. So you've got to know your buttons. What makes you angry? Maybe before you get home, you need to stop and you need to get the Word of God for 15 minutes. walk the door. So you treat your kids and your spouse.
Right.
And maybe you just got to figure out what is it that drives me crazy.
And maybe you got to figure out what is it that drives.
I just don't understand, especially certain.
You know you're going to lose it when you
watch a game, and you know your team is average, maybe a little above average. You know they're going to lose to certain colleges, and then you get all depressed and angry. And I mean, I'm seriously talking to guys, many of them, during college football season, and they're losing their mind. I don't watch it. Oh, I could never not watch it. Really? Why do you want to sin? See, when we look at our anger as sin, we want to flee from it. We don't want to do it.
We don't want to.
And we need to fill. We need to fill ourselves with God's word. I do think this is a big thing. Your faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I think you got to just know there's certain things that I got to be learning. And so, giving you a lot of Bible passages in the text there, in your notes, on anger. It says in Proverbs 15:18 that a hot-tempered man stirs up strife.
Slow.
Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk in your mouth. There's things
you don't just
play with. You don't just sit there and say,
well, I do it at work, because the guy's like, well, I hear Christian students. Well, you know, it's a different situation at work. No, it's not. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ at that place.
Then the last, and I think probably the most important strategy, is you've got to remember that
we are works of
God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You got to remember that we have to forgive as the Lord's been.
As forgiveness,
we need to remember that in this world you're gonna have trouble. I got to tell you, this week, our last couple weeks of preparing on anger, I've had more conflict situations. I mean, everywhere I turn, conflict. I mean, it's, you know, and I think part of that is
Lord providing me,
help me, you know, and this is gonna go on by the way of the day.
You go home.
And so we got to remember what Christ did. We have to apply everything that we've talked about and more, and understand that it was Christ who also suffered
once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God.
So where are you at today? I do think I am not alone.
I am not.
And I think that hopefully you will not just give your anger like a
we'll give it a little nod, but it's okay. You know, compared to Pastor Matt, I'm not bad. Well, granted, it might be better than me, but I'm not the measuring stick. And infinitely holy God is. We want to honor him and what we say and what we do. So I'm going to ask right now, just bow your heads and ask the Lord to reveal what he wants to reveal to all of us. Says be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on our wrath, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Those are not just nice words, those are your words. Lord, I pray that where there is hurt and there is hurt, you would work through your word to bring about forgiveness and a releasing of anger and a path towards righteousness, that we would do what your word says. Lord, you know every heart. You know every struggle. You know where we sweep under the carpet. And we're not sweeping anything in your eyes. So, Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that we would see you for who you are. Lord, for those that need to go home and repent to family members, I pray that they would willfully do so with joy. I pray for those that do not have a strategy to flee, that they would flee evil, flee the temptation, and that they would fill themselves with your word. And Lord, may we truly remember your gospel. Help us to have righteous indignation on things that are not right in this world. Help us to be slow to speak, slow to become angry. And Lord, may you be glorified in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Help us in this, we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.